Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
February 14th, 1998.
Sixth grade.
Dear diary.
Dear Jesus.
Dear sweet asswad.
Adults sharing the embarrassing things
they created as kids.
So I wrote poems about masturbation.
Before an audience
of total strangers.
I feel like an idiot.
I'm the only normal one in my entire family.
Mom, you can't read this.
These are the stories hidden inside
the pages of our past.
Listening to the Mortified podcast. I'm Sarah, a Mortified producer in Boston, and I'll be your guest host for this special holiday episode. Today, we'll relive that notably awkward transition from magical childhood to horrifying puberty with a little help from Santa. And for that, we're peeking inside the middle school diaries of a girl whose mom and dad decided that in their house, Christmas was more than just some winter holiday. Indeed, it was a time when a kid could still revel in being a kid.
They made Christmas a magical time, and it was a time that really stood out for me. You know, the smells in the air and the tree and the of Christmas Eve and waiting for Santa.
Now, for most kids, by the time they get to middle school, believing in things like Santa Claus has become a ghost of Christmas past. But Christina wasn't like most kids.
I was the most sheltered. I skipped a grade in elementary school, so I was the youngest of my classmates. My parents would tell me, write down what you want for Christmas and we'll give it to Santa. For years, I would ask for things like clothes and music for Christmas. And then as I was getting into middle school, I added something to my list. I added a boy.
Yes, Christina actually wrote her middle school journal to the Kris Kringle in the hopes that one day a boyfriend would magically arrive via chimney.
The guys that I was starting to like at that point were definitely on Santa's naughty list. Something about those edgy bad guys really turned me on.
Here's Christina Kirby, recorded at the DNA Lounge in San Francisco.
Dear journal, what is love at my age? Is it a crush? Can it be serious? Can someone love someone and like four or five other guys? October 23rd. I love you dearly, Santa. But Christmas is too far away. I know this is going to sound really far-fetched, but how about it, Great Pumpkin? Do you think that there's any chance that when you bring all the other good little girls and boys candy and presents on Halloween, that you could bring me love instead? Too much to ask? Thanks, with an X, Christina. November 1st. I'm over Terry. Yes, he crushed my heart. Yes, I was madly in love with him. Life goes on, though. I have another guy in mind. My headbanger dude. Yes, Zach Forrester. He was suspended for 5 days and just came back. did I miss him. December 24th, Christmas Eve. Dear Santa, what I really want for Christmas is Zach. I'm really in love with him, and I'd like for him to like me too. Maybe he could call me, we could talk for a while, and then dot, dot, dot. I mean, it doesn't have to happen immediately. But Santa, I really love him. Merry Christmas. February 16th. Dear Journal, God, I'm so confused. I hardly know who I am. I'm stuck somewhere in the world between headbanger and prep. I mean, getting into metal is a really great way to impress guys. But you know, I'm really starting to scare my parents. March 2nd. Dear Journal, I finally got my wish. This is the happiest day of my life. Christina and Zach. Oh my God. Thank you, Santa. Oh, wowie, 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 wowie. I am so fucking happy. March 7th, Saturday. Dear Journal, I think that last night was the best night of my life. It was the St. Patrick's Day cotillion. Me and Zach danced 4 times. It was beautiful. But the best thing was that in the middle of Don't Cry, Guns N' Roses, we stopped, looked at each other, and he kissed me. Oh my God. I remember everything as it happened. As we looked at each other, he started to tilt his head to one side. And I knew what that meant. I think I closed my eyes, and the next thing I knew was that he had planted a soft, warm kiss on my lips. If you want to get technical, it wasn't really on my lips. It was kind of on the side of my mouth. The left side. God, was it magic? Thank you, Santa. Boy, I love Zach. Boy, am I happy. And then I signed my name Christina Forrester, and I wrote, I could get used to writing that. March 15th. Well, tomorrow will be me and Zach's 2-week anniversary. Cool, huh? He's kissed me 4 times. I could get used to it. And Megan told me he asked her how far I'd let him go. Isn't that sweet? All I know is it's been a wonderful 2 weeks. March 16th. Dear Journal. I knew it wouldn't last long. March 19th. Dear Journal. He couldn't wait 3 fucking days, could he? That motherfucking asshole, two-faced. fucker have sex to his own face. Impotent bitch. Dog fucker. Wow. I don't know if I've ever cussed that much in my life. That felt really good. God, what am I doing? No, he is a two-timing asshole, and I hate him. God, I'm pissed. I really need to vent my anger. I think I'll write him a nice letter. Dear Zach, I just wanted to let you know that I hate you. And I've never meant anything more in my life. You told me you were confused. Well, did being confused have anything to do with your twisted plan to dump me on my face and ask Katie out 3 days later? Plus, what really gets me is that you didn't even have enough balls to tell me yourself. You're a wimp and you're limp. I hate you, Zach Forrester. Yeah. I hate you. And I signed it sincerely. You'd better believe it. Christina.
That's probably closing the book on that chapter of my life. Once I tasted the joy of loving a guy and then having that heartbreak, I think that's probably when I... becoming a woman at age 12, but it certainly was that coming of age where it was just probably time to let go of some of that stuff from my childhood.
So it's so it's Christmas Eve, 7 months later, and here is my final letter to Santa in this series. Dear Santa, hi, it's me again. Gosh, I never really got to thank you enough for the 2 wonderful weeks I had with Zach. You really turned my life around, and I thank you for that. Anyway, I know that you've got a lot to do, it being Christmas and all, but do you think you could manifest a boyfriend for me? I've been good, haven't I? Thank you, Santa. Love always, Christina. Thank you.
That was Christina Kirby reading aloud her childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness in San Francisco at the DNA Lounge. And stick around. There's more to the story as we find out how Santa fulfilled the naughtiest wish on Christina's list a decade after middle school in our postmortem, FUD. We caught up with Christina after her performance and found out that her old middle school boyfriend showed up in her adult life one chilly Christmas evening.
You know what's funny? Santa did bring that guy back to me about 10 years later. It was right around Christmas. I was living in San Francisco and I came home party. I saw a lot of old friends who I hadn't seen in a long time, and he was there, and it was a... spirit of full disclosure, it was a super drunken hookup, eggnog, and other things.
Yep, and just like a childhood Christmas, Christina woke up the following morning to discover a surprise waiting for her under a tree.
I came out of the house. I hadn't planned to stay there or anything, trying to sneak out, get away. And there was a tree on my car. Like, tree had fallen and bisected my car. There was a storm that night. There was even a picture of my car in the local newspaper because it was that shocking.
So Christina finally hooking up with that middle school boyfriend was a true Christmas miracle, and in more ways than one.
Because if I had left at the end of the party like a good girl, who knows what would have happened to me? Because I stayed, I was fine. So maybe I do have to say thank you to Santa after all. Pretty great.
Ironically, Christina married a man who is determined, for the sake of their son, to kill Santa.
My husband's very adamant about being transparent about Santa, that Santa doesn't exist, and being clear at the very beginning. When he was little and he found out about the truth about Santa, he felt like his parents had lied to him and he could never trust them ever again. And so he never wanted to do that to our kids.
So in the interest of keeping their toddler intact, they decided to be completely honest with him from the start. Then one day, as Christmas neared, and their older son's verbal skills were still growing, they sat him down and carefully broke the news about Santa.
He was 2, but he probably didn't really process it till he was 3. But then it was probably 4, he came back from preschool, and, you know, all of his friends were obsessed with Santa, and that's when he came back and told us we were wrong. He was certainly frustrated. Why would you lie to me and say that Santa's not real?
Christina has 2 kids now, and she doesn't necessarily view Christmas with the same innocence anymore. But thanks to the rituals her parents created around Christmas back in the day, the magic of the holiday is always there for Christina whenever she needs it the most.
2 years ago, my dad died a week before Christmas, and that was, and we kind of pulled together Christmas as a formality almost. You know, we felt like this is something we have to do to maintain normalcy and to maintain normalcy for my son and for each other. We had a very low-key, non-traditional Christmas, but we were together, and I felt like I needed that. I needed the ritual of Christmas to help get through it. And in some ways, the most magical Christmases. We wanted to feel him there in the room with us. He was. I believe he was.
Before we left Christina to her holiday preparations, we asked her to close her eyes and pretend, just for a moment, that she was a kid again, in her childhood home, waiting for Christmas, and to tell us what she loved the most.
It's the anticipation, the sound of distant sleigh bells, like you're lying in bed and you can hear them flying overhead. There's some good kitchen smells going on, presents, and then the twinkly ornaments, and yeah, the lights on the houses. Just that feeling like, I just can't wait. There's good stuff coming. There's good stuff under the tree, and there's fun coming, and it's going to be fantastic. You know, that lying in the feeling the night before.
From all of us here at Mortified to all of you out there, whether or not you believe in Santa Claus, Hanukkah Harry, Kwanzaa Ken, or Atheist Annie, happy holidays. And thank you for sharing just a little bit of the season with us.
Happy holidays.
We love you. What's Atheist Annie? To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. As many of you know, the Mortified podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Purcelli, Dave Nadelberg, Neil Katcher, Carrie Frola, and me, your guest host, Sarah Faith Alterman. Scott Lifton story produced this for the stage. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, and Snake Snake Snakes. Additional thanks to the DNA Lounge, Heather Venata, and all of the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work makes the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.